Good morning, everybody. Welcome to Living Astrology with Janet Hickox. It's time to grab your cup of coffee or your tea, sit back, and let's chat about what is going on in the stars above. It is a Monday morning, the Monday of the great solar eclipse. I'm like almost sick of hearing about it now. I bet you guys are too. So we're not going to talk much about the solar eclipse, which occurs in about 3.5 hours my time. On the West Coast, 3.5 hours anyway, for wherever you are. Some of you will see it, some of you will not. It doesn't matter whether you see it or not, because it is still activating energy in all of our charts. So whether you are in its path of totality or whether you only see a little scrim of it, it is still impactful. But what happens after the solar eclipse? Right? Eclipse season will be done. We had the lunar eclipse on March 25th. We have this solar eclipse today, but that's not all there is going on this month. April is like the gift that keeps on giving. It has many facets of energies. And if you were with me on the first week of the month, or the last Wednesday of March, we talked about all of the various ways in which the energy of April would be very impactful. And while we've been talking about for several weeks, maybe even months in some people's cases, about this solar eclipse, about this day, as you can tell, the Earth hasn't gone away, right? The rapture didn't happen. All of the stuff, the mythology and all of that that was being bandied about is nothing compared to where we are and what is it that we will choose to do from here. That's the key. It isn't about what's happening. It's about what do we choose, right? Nothing just happens, because it's all about choices that we make. And because we are individuals, we have our own individual choices that we will make. And as a collective, as a planet, as a country, as a race, as a people, as humans, we'll make choices together as well. And not all of those choices are made today, right? It's just opening us up to this energy that will continue going on. Now, this is one of those weeks where there's so much that we could talk about, so many layers of energies that are happening, right? Today is that solar eclipse. It is the Sun, Moon, Chiron conjunction. And it is also when Mercury is retrograde in the same sign. But even of more importance, perhaps, to the whole of the eclipse is the fact that on April 10th, so that is just Wednesday, right? Today's the 8th, Wednesday, Mars will conjunct Saturn for one of the first times in my knowledge of Pisces, right? They will come together in Pisces. Mars is the planet of action. Saturn is the planet of discipline and structure and form and due diligence, right? So when these two come together in any sign, and we're going to talk in depth about this in a little bit, but when these two come together, the question that you might be asking yourself is, what is the best container for your passions, for your desires? And I've been thinking a lot about this morning, even before I sat down really to do this work. And this is actually something I've been thinking about for a while. The next question you might ask yourself is, how can you hold your desires and your passions until it's the correct time to take action? Right? As you might know, today you can take all kinds of action. It's a new moon, especially after 11:21 a.m. Pacific time. So what's that? 2:21 p.m. East Coast time, because it's the new moon, right? So we can initiate and we can take new steps, right? We make goals or we set intentions and we move forward. But in the meantime, not with Mercury retrograde, we're still kind of holding space. You know, Mercury is a planet that also picks up instructions from the Sun. Later this week, the planet Mercury in retrograde will conjunct the Sun. That signals the halfway point of this retrograde cycle. It is also the new beginning, the new moon-ish part of the Mercury cycle, when Mercury is retrograde and conjuncts the sun, that is the beginning of the Mercury retrograde cycle. It's kind of counterintuitive to think of a new cycle beginning when a planet is in retrograde, but that's exactly what will happen this week, right? So on the 10th, we have Mars conjunct Saturn, and we're going to, you know, look at this because Mars is the ruler of Aries. That Mars is the ruler of this solar eclipse, right? The one that's happening today is ruled by the planet Mars that will conjunct Saturn on Wednesday. And that means that likely we're going to have to adjust in some ways our ideas, our path forward. We're going to have to adjust our actions to sort of suit our desires and our passions. And I asked myself the question this morning while I was blow drying my hair, do I have the courage to do just that? Do I? And I know you don't know exactly what it is that I'm thinking, but that's a question that we can all be asking. Do we have the courage to do what it is that we want to do? Do we have the courage to follow our desires and our passions to their greatest expression, to their greatest authentic expression for us as individuals? Now, Saturn in this is here to help direct Mars energy so that it is sustainable, so that it is goal-oriented. What we want to avoid is jumping out of the starting gate and then losing all energy to do what it is that we want to do and find ourselves back at square one. That can be very disempowering, right? Or feel very disempowering. So we want to be goal-oriented, Saturn helping us do that. But Saturn in the sign of Pisces is also helping us support our imagination and our creativity, right? So using our imagination and creativity to jump forward, doing the things that we love to do, taking the actions that are calling to us in some way, right? They're all of us are probably getting called upon in some way to express ourselves in a way that is unique for us. Saturn in Pisces helping to reduce the fluff, right? All of the fluff of ideas that are going through our minds so that we can actually focus on what is most important to us at this point in time, right? At this point in our lives, in this point at time. Of time. So April 10th, we also have Neptune moving into the gate 25 in human design. Neptune hasn't changed gates in a long time, over a year, year and a half maybe. Neptune has been stuck at the gate 36, which has been the gate of chaos and turmoil, right? In human design, Neptune represents our spiritual job, right? So you have a spiritual job. Each one of you has Neptune somewhere in your human design. That becomes your spiritual job. While Chiron is the spiritual challenge, right? The spiritual challenge, when you overcome that, then you're able to really work through your spiritual job. And Neptune will be moving into the gate 25, the gate of spirit, the gate of innocence, the gate of purity in some respects, right? That'll be an interesting move. I can't wait to see how Neptune changes the activities or the energies as he moves into that new gate. That's, again, Wednesday. Like I said, the solar eclipse ain't it all. Can't be, not with all these other things happening. It'll be April 11th, so Thursday, when Mercury in retrograde conjuncts the sun in Aries, giving us a dual new beginning, if you will, right? Maybe a trio of new beginnings, because we're still in the energy of the new moon at that point in time, whether the new moon was an eclipse or not. We have Mercury conjunct the sun in its new phase, right? And that brings us a new beginning. Boom. And we also have Aries, the sign all of this is taking place in, which is a sign of initiation, a sign of movement forward, a sign of new beginnings, right? So much energy of new beginnings. And then on April 12th is what? Friday, You guys, I haven't been home and long enough to even move my calendar to April. So I have to squint to see where April is on the bigger. It's pretty funny, actually. So here we are on April 12th with Pluto changing gates. Now, Pluto is moving into the gate 41, which is the gate of imagination and fantasy. It is the initiating gate of the human design new year. So we have another sort of pseudo new beginning occurring with Pluto here. And Pluto is moving out of the gate. I got to check and see. He's been in the gate 60. And I want to say he's been in the gate 60 for about a year and a half, 2 years. He will retrograde at some point this year and move backward into the gate 60 for a short time, finishing up, if you will, the energy of innovation, of focusing on what's new. But now he's moving into imagination. And here's where I think this is the most interesting piece of this whole week, is that the gate 41, because it's the beginning of the human design new year, really is a harbinger of what's to come. And what's to come is always based on what it is that we can imagine. So if we can imagine peace, we can create peace. If we can imagine a way to cure cancer, let's say, then we can cure cancer. Anything that we can imagine, we can actually do. It's just time lag that catches up between, right? When we wanted to travel to the moon, it seemed like fantastical sci-fi, but we put our knuckles and our hands to work and we built the right things that could go to the moon, and we went to the moon. We wanted to go to Mars, and they did the same thing. They took that imagination, that fantasy, put it to work building the explorers that could go to the red planet. So my point in this is that if there's something in your life that you want, but you've been holding yourself back because you didn't think it was possible, if it's coming into your mind, it's possible. It's only an alignment problem at that point, right? An alignment problem. How do I align myself with what I desire? And that might mean I have to make some choices. I might have to move forward and take a step, right? And I might take 2 steps forward and have 1 step that pulls me back, but I'm still 1 step forward. Right. So the time that we're in is so impactful for us moving forward in a way that is well able to sustain humanity into the future. The problem is it might take some time for us to get there. Right. We all have to make the choices. And there are powers on the planet that really gain financially from war, from, you know, fighting. Their goals are going to be different, right? Those goals from those kinds of parties are going to be different. So we're still going to struggle with this until we can deal with the economic issue and the power that money holds over the collective. We'll still have that 2 steps forward, 1 step back feeling, right? But don't get discouraged. Don't get discouraged about this, because we are moving forward. Each one of these transits tells us that we are moving forward. We almost don't have a choice with the preponderance of these energies that are creating pathways, inroads, if you will, even into something new. We can't keep skating backwards, no matter how MAGA and all of those people that want us to go backwards in time. We can't. It's not sustainable. We wouldn't find ourselves where we are if it were, right? So we're moving forward. I don't know what that looks like exactly, but I do know that I'm a creator. I do know that all of you listening to me this morning and all people actually are creators. So what is it that you want to put your focus and attention and your time and your resources into? These are the containers, if you will, for your passion, right? For your desire that we're talking about. And then some of those things, it's not the right time yet to act on. So we have to hold space until it's the right time to take action, right? There might be other things in your life that you're having to contend with right now, but that vision, that fantasy, that imagination, that creativity is still there, just waiting to launch, right, at the right time. Okay, so let's dive deeper. First of all, let me say good morning to everybody who's popped in here this morning, because I didn't do that because I launched right in. Good morning to Jacqueline Tyler. I see you out there, and thank you for the suggestion of the dragon card. I think that would be absolutely perfect. Tom, good morning to you. We eclipse the rest. Okay. Pam Zaruba, good morning. What comes after the eclipse? Are you expecting a sequel? Yes, of course. The sequel would be Mars conjunct Saturn. The sequel might be Neptune into gate 25. The sequel might be Mercury retrograde conjunct the sun. The sequel might be Pluto moving into gate 41. And that's not even Jupiter conjunct Uranus next week. So we have lots of things that could be considered sequels. Tara Messner, good morning. She said, wow, I just had good morning flash in my head. I'm experiencing closure of a relationship. I keep hearing, well, what's next? Ring in my ears. This eclipse is very timely for me indeed, right? Sometimes it's loss that we experience first in order to move forward, right? But that's the thing that I was considering this morning. The courage that it takes to move forward even in the face of loss, right? The courage that it takes to do what's really been something that you've wanted to do, that you've known you had to do, even though the impact and the results of that might not be easy, right? Or the doing of it might not be easy. So I applaud you, Tara, for following your heart. Chester's mom says, hello, everyone. Good morning to J-Lo. Happy Eclipse Moon Day. Tom says, does the comet have any effect astrologically where it transits and all that? You know, possibly, right? I think it is an omen kind of thing, right? Comets, eclipses, they are almost always mythological in their mythic, even in their in the way that we as humans interact with them, because they're rare-ish events. A total solar eclipse won't happen again in the U.S. For 30 years, I think it is. So it's momentous. A comet moving through the system could, you know, be a portent of change, a change in leadership. Often it's more collective in its impact. But it could also signal a change in your own life. I'm not sure where this comet is in terms. I know it's flying pretty close to the sun, because I did hear that during the eclipse, you might be able to see the comet because it's that close to the sun. Right now, it's lost in the glare. But with the eclipse, it might, you know, be more visible. So take away what you will from that, right? It's a transient object. Right? It's just moving through, passing through. Good morning, Patty. It's good to see you here, and TJ as well. Jamon, good morning. Joan Durchy, hello. Narges, good, hello. Corey, Christine, all good to see you. Debbie Tippett's Tumiel says, good morning. I'll have to watch most of this later. She's getting her teeth done. And happy Eclipse Day to you as well. Thank you, Christine. Patty, go. Good morning, I think is what she's saying. Tom says, while we're at it, don't look directly at me either. Don't look directly at the sun. That could be a bad thing. So I'm really kind of tired of talking about the solar eclipse. So let's dive into Mars conjunct Saturn. Because, you know, transiting Mars is where the action is taking place for all of us, collectively and singularly. Mars is a personal planet. So it has a lot to do with you. And Mars is the energy of assertion, how we put ourselves out there, right? How do we put ourselves forward into the world? And he represents that assertion in a way that is shaped by our ambitions and our goals, the drive that we have to create or to bring something into the world. And it is also about how we go about achieving our goals. And he's in the sign of Pisces. Now, he's not very comfortable there. Let's just say that. Pisces is a water sign. Mars is fire. Fire and water create steam. or create frustration, right? There's that possibility. But it also indicates an energetic level, an increase then in the energy that's available, the drive and the initiative, that in the case of Pisces becomes quite creative, right? Taking action on our imagination. So transiting Mars in Pisces can offer us a blend of the sensitivity of knowing what comes next, following our intuition, our creativity, our spirituality, and it can be both enriching to our lives, but also challenging in our lives. Now, the way that, the way that we make the most, the way that we can make the most of this energy of Mars in Pisces is to look for opportunities for us to share of ourselves, to share our gifts of compassion, of creativity, of sharing spirituality with people, ways that we can create spiritual growth for ourselves, while reminding ourselves that Mars is also conjunct Saturn, a sign, a planet that brings up boundaries and limitations and a need for clarity. But also in Pisces, things are boundarylessness. There's boundaryless. They are boundaryless. So without boundaries, without any kind of tethering, we can go too far, too fast. And with proper boundaries, we hold the space for the expression of our passions and our talents and our path of service in our lifetimes. Now, transiting Saturn. Saturn is the planet of discipline, structure, form, limitations, right? He's the planet that keeps us in a container. And it represents the area of our lives where we need to work hard, where we need to exercise patience, where we have to confront the challenges of the structures in our lives, whether the structures are too weak, built on sand, ready to fall, or are the structures built too rigid and they are holding us too tightly to the past or to the old? So Saturn is also associated with authority figures, your own personal authority, rules, boundaries, all of that kind of stuff. So while transiting in Pisces, Saturn is kind of challenged by boundaries, because Pisces is boundaryless. And Neptune, the ruler of Pisces, is also in Pisces. So he's at the other end of Pisces, though. And so there's also the emotional sensitivity of this sign, the psychic sensitivity of this sign, right? So we have opportunities for growth in terms of discipline and spiritual development with Saturn in Pisces. But it's also something that we have to approach with the willingness to confront the challenges with resilience and embrace the potential for personal and collective transformation. Here's where we get caught up, right? It's okay, I think, for us to think of change, but the actual change is a little more difficult, right? We can think about it all we want and we're like, yes, I want to do that. Until it comes right down to it and it's difficult, then we might choose to hold ourselves back. So Saturn is helping us to, in Pisces, helping us to relate to transformation in a way that allows us to reduce the boundary somewhat. And typical boundary is fear, right? The fear that we have. We have to work through this. Now, Mars and Saturn are going to be in a conjunction, and a conjunction is when two planets come together in close proximity to one another, holding down the same degree of the same sign, or in this case, we're also going to talk about it being in the same gate in your human design, and it tends to intensify the energies of both, as both, you can imagine you're trying to merge the energies of action and forward momentum with the energy of resilience and strength and staying the course, holding the ground, So there's going to be challenge. It's going to get, you know, a little scritchy. So you're trying to merge these potent forces, and it creates a force of its own in a conjunction, right? The blending of two energies. And Pisces, of course, where this is occurring, is a sign ruled by Neptune, as I said earlier, known for compassion, intuition, spirituality, unconditional love, imagination, all that creative imagination, fantasy energy, and also the whole idea of, in the negative, escapism and overly emotional sensitivity, right? Being too on the edge emotionally, but also that escapism that can lead us to addictions and to keep us caught up in old patterns. So now when we have Mars, action, conjuncting Saturn, which is discipline and responsibility, in Pisces, compassion and imagination, we get a blend of some pretty intense energies. And those energies are focused on meeting the needs of the structures of our lives, while also doing it in a highly intuitive and imaginative way. So we have some incongruence almost going on, don't you think, right? We have structure and form against boundaryless and formlessness. And then we have action. It almost feels like Mars trying to tread water and having to dog paddle his way forward to get through this muck, right? So it could be a very difficult time. So where Pisces is in your own chart is, by the way, where you're having trouble getting traction, perhaps, where you might have to go to the imaginative realm to find imaginative ways to move forward, to move out of the muck, to get out of the stuck pattern that you've been in. So what we have with Mars conjunct Saturn is focused energy with discipline. We do have that. Mars, action, and Saturn, discipline, they work well together, typically, right? So we might have a period of time where we can really concentrate our effort, our determination to get something done, to do what we want to do. We might have the drive, the passion, the energy to actually pursue our goals and our dreams and our ambition, because we are actually, you know, greeting this with more tenacity, with perseverance energy, right? There's a strong sense of purpose, and then the willingness to overcome the obstacles that we are real or imagined that we've put in our path so that we can get beyond them. This is a great time for practical spirituality. Practical meaning, there's always, you know, with Pisces, that idealism, the idealistic side of things. Saturn promotes realism. So you may be motivated by a sense of compassion or a desire to contribute something to the larger energy of the world. And that can manifest perhaps in charitable actions or humanitarianism, or doing things that help others. That would be a practical way to support your spiritual path, right? Doing things for others, sharing what you know with others, right? Sharing information, sharing experiences with others. Now, there's a great potential for frustration during this time. So I could feel that in my own self, this frustration building. I have Mars in Leo natally, and I'm used to just doing what I want, when I want. It's not that way right now. There's too many other things going on. So Mars conjunct Saturn can bring a new sense of frustration to you or limitation. You may encounter obstacles or delays, particularly because Mercury is also in retrograde, right? Things may not be going as planned, which is not to say that it's not the right time to do what you're doing. It might just be a slowdown. Take some time. Consider what you're going to do before you do it so that it doesn't all blow up in your face, all right? Maybe we need to channel the energy constructively. Maybe we're trying to go too broad and do too many things all at one time. Mars conjunct Saturn wants us to make it more limited than that, right? Moving forward more persistently, but maybe more with a plan. And then being willing when frustration sets in to sort of hang back a little bit, right? Bide your time until that block is removed or the epiphany occurs and you know now which way to go around or above or under that flow or going with that flow. There's a lot of emotional sensitivity here. With Pisces involved, emotions are on your sleeve, right? They're right out there and they're going to play a significant role here because we will be tempted to make decisions based on how we're feeling. We may feel more sensitive, more empathetic during this transit, but note that other people will be as well, and they may not understand fully what a Mars conjunct Saturn is doing to them. Why is it that they feel overly emotional? And why are they being insensitive to other people's needs or saying things at the wrong time, putting their foot in their mouths? So everybody's emotional quotient or sensitive quotient is up somewhat during this period of time. So a good rule of thumb would be to practice self-care, maintain healthy boundaries, right? Try not to cross over boundaries. You want to have boundaries, but you don't want them so tight and so rigid that you can't move. You want them more to be a little flexible, but to also know where you end and the others begin. Okay. Balancing action and reflection. Pisces is the sign of sensitivity. We have action that wants to take place, but we have to balance that action with self-reflection, right? What is really right for us to do? And while there's a drive to move forward, we also want to achieve tangible results. You know, we want to see the manifestation of our efforts, but we also have to be introspective somewhat and make sure that we've filled our own cups first, right? You can't be thirsty and go out to the desert. Just won't work, right? So we have to find a balance between doing and being. And that can lead us to being able to sustain this energy toward more insights, toward more growth, more evolution, more of the action that we can take toward our goals, right? The things that are important to us. So Saturn conjunct Mars, or Mars conjunct Saturn is the more appropriate way to say this. It can be a potent period for us of focused action and disciplined effort and spiritual growth. Like we're putting them all in the mix there. So we need to harness the aspects energies wisely, right? Taking it all in a way that is correct for you. And you can go to your human design for that. What is your type? What is your strategy? What is your authority? Those are kind of three keys to help you align with what is correct for you, how to take proper action for yourself, how to stay in alignment with your goals and make progress toward them, but without getting stuck, right? Using your intuition as guidance to get you where you need to go. So, big deal, right? Now, let's say good morning. A couple more people have popped in here. Good morning, Paulette. Good morning, Terry. It's good to see you too with us this morning. If you guys have any other questions, please go ahead and put those in the chat. It'll pop up for me. Now I want to talk about where this Mars conjunct Saturn is taking place in your human design, because it's also in a really interesting place. And it is happening in the gate 63, which is a gate on the head center, the very top center. And if you're looking at the human design, it is the gate on the right-hand side, so gate 63. In the head center is the center for ideas and inspiration. It is also the pressure to answer questions. How, when, why, and in sense of gate 63, can you prove it, right? Can you prove it? There's doubt in this Mars conjunct Saturn. Right? Gate 63 is the gate of doubt. And when you have the planet of action conjunct Saturn, the planet of structure and limitation in gate 63, it can create a place where action meets doubt, right? Just here I am telling you all about the need to take action, and it's in the gate of doubt. So what does that mean? So remember, Mars is the drive to take action and to assert yourself, right? To assert your goals, to take those steps, right? And Saturn can bring that need for limitation, for discipline, right? To take disciplined action. And when they come together at the gate 63, there can be a clash between the impulse to move forward and doubts or uncertainties about the best course of action. Which way is the best way? And then that can lead you to a sense of hesitation or a caution in making decisions or in the decision-making process. It's really interesting because if that gate is defined, it means that there is a natural inclination to slow this process of action down because of the presence of doubt. So one must take in doubt and ask the question, is this mine? What is it that I'm doubting? Am I doubting my own heart? Am I doubting my own abilities? Am I doubting that this is the right course of action? And where's that doubt coming from? If you have an open head, which means that head center would be white, and maybe you don't have gate 63 defined at all, it's not colored in at all, then it's very possible you're absorbing the doubt from others, right? It's not even your own doubt. So you have an opportunity to look at where are you conditioned to doubt yourself and why. Doubt is about, it's actually part of the logical circuit in human design. And the logic circuit, we are overly dependent upon logic in as humans on the planet right now. And logic is really about pattern recognition, right? I see a pattern, and I'm from that pattern, I can predict what happens next. But it's only one way of knowing. So in this sense of doubt here, is this being based on a pattern that's from the past where you've doubted yourself? What's really meant to do here is to be more suspicious or doubtful of what others are telling you about what is possible for you. Don't doubt yourself. Don't doubt your own heart and the actions that you want to take. Doubt when other people are interfering, right? Doubt that, not yourself. And one way to overcome doubt in this gate anyway, on all levels, whether you have it defined or open, is to think of everything in terms of possibilities. Is it possible? What more is possible? Okay. Possibilities. Now, because it's part of the logical circuitry, we also can take an analytical approach to how we question, right? How we analyze and how we move through the mind of decision making. And we can be very much, there's a tendency to be more critical during this period of time, to critically evaluate our options. Now, and I'm going to tell you that that thinking process, I can't like shut that off for you. I can't shut it off for you, but I can tell you, you do not make decisions from this place. You don't. If you make decisions from the mind or from a transit such as this, then you could be making decisions that are right for other people, but not right for yourself. In human design, we always say there is no decision making. There's no power in the mind to make decisions, only evaluate, to critically think, to analyze, to, in this case, you know, look at the pattern. What does the pattern suggest to you? So it's a time really with the gate doubt of doubt for deep introspection and to explore the possibilities, explore your underlying doubts. Find out what's the fear that's caught up here. And what is it the fear is doing to you? It's holding you back. So the key is to let the fear go. Let it go. Feel the fear and do it anyway is how we would say it in human design. So the conjunction of Mars and Saturn here at gate 63 can present both challenges and opportunities. On one hand, we might discover we have these obstacles or delays in pursuing the goals, the dreams, the ambitions, right? Pursuing our new moon intentions. But if we approach that with patience and persistence, we can overcome whatever those doubts are or whatever those obstacles are. And there can be opportunities in this for us to confront those things that have been doubts, that have been our insecurities. And those things, those doubts and insecurities may have been kind of hindering your whole progress forward in your life. So take this time to look at them square in the face. Look at them dead to rights and say, you have no power over me. They don't. You're giving them the power. You're feeding them. Right? It's not the transit. It's not Mars and Saturn. They're just like calling it up for you to look at. All right. This is despite the presence of doubt here, Mars can really infuse this transit with a sense of determination and focus. And it's important then that we channel our energy in that way to be more productive. So we want to channel all of that Mars energy in a productive channel or way to focus that energy, because if you don't, then it can be a feeling of, you know, foot on the gas, foot on the brake, of all steam, not taking us anywhere. So we want to be very careful. We can become overwhelmed with decision making. We can be overwhelmed with indecision or pessimism in this case. So we have to trust in our ability to navigate the challenges that are in front of us and trust the process that is unfolding for you as you are moving through this process. And this might be a great time here to structure and organize your mental realm in a new way. Maybe your mind has always been structured to the pessimistic. And, you know, for some people, that might not be wrong. It might be how you are designed. But what if you just said, okay, what if I stepped back and became more objective about what is happening in my life, about these goals, about these doubts? What would I see? If I was looking from the outside in, what would it look like? What would it look like if I took a new step in a new direction? You don't have to take that step yet, but what would it look like? How would it feel? Right? What if the possibility of that new step takes you in such a wonderful direction that you feel renewed, that you feel positive energy, optimistic? So restructure. That's part of Mercury retrograde anyway. Restructure, right? Reevaluate, reimagine what is possible for you. Create a strategy for moving forward and when you encounter doubt. How are you going to handle it? What are you going to do with it? This is a time at gate 63 for integration and resolution of those fears, of those doubts. Ultimately, the conjunction of Saturn and Mars here offers the opportunity, the opportunity for us to integrate what we want, to resolve the problems that we've been facing, the stopping points, resolving them, confronting doubts and uncertainties head on. And then we can gain clarity and we can gain confidence in ourselves and in our decisions. We'll learn to trust our inner wisdom and allow ourselves to move forward purposefully. So overall, this transit of, or this conjunction of Mars and Saturn at the gate 63 can bring us this time of introspection, especially looking at what the impact of doubt has in our lives, and embrace the opportunity then to confront those doubts, those fears, and use the energy of this transit to refine your goals, maybe to create a new strategy for success in moving forward. So all in all, it's a huge time for us in the wake of a powerful solar eclipse of new beginnings, right? Now we have this Mars conjunct Saturn, right? So it's really kind of cool. All right, let's look at the comments. Amy D says, it is so dang hard not to feel the need to make decisions from the mind. So happy. I know more about astrology and human design to be aware of what impacts me. Indeed, right? you know, Amy, to your point, our education system has created people who are or created a belief, let's say, that we need to be analytical, that we need to think critically, that we have to make decisions from our minds, right? How many times in your past has somebody said, you know, think about it, think your way through this. What's the, you know, best option? Analyze, critically think about it. Create your pros and cons. All of that is all mind-based, but the mind is only awareness. Awareness of what the pros are, awareness of what the cons might be, but there's no power for decision-making there. None. You have to go lower in the body for that, to your gut, or to your intuition, or to your emotions, to your heart, for some people, right? So it is difficult, yes, because we've been trained up to use our minds to make decisions, but there's no decision-making power. J-Lo, so interesting. I pulled a chart and it was a mental projector design, right? I think the mental projectors have it the worst because they're always thinking. But whose thoughts might they be thinking about? They think they have certainty, but the rest of them doesn't show up in a way that says, yes, that's correct. It could be very difficult, right? So it's important to know yourself, right? So you know how it is that you're designed to make decisions, right? Okay. Now, let's talk about what the next thing is that's important on April 10th. So we're dealing with just April 10th now, which is Wednesday. That day, Neptune moves from the gate 36, where he has been stirring the pot, right, of chaos, of turmoil, of experiences that we've never had before, turmoil type things like earthquakes in the Northeast. I mean, come on, right? These weird things. And now he is moving into the gate 25, which sits on the identity center. That is the diamond, right? Center mass of your human design, which can either be colored in yellow if it's defined, or it can be white, right? Which would suggest it's open and that your identity is malleable. You're a chameleon, right? Your identity is changing based on who you happen to be around. Now, the gate 25 is called the gate of the love of spirit, right? It's a love gate. And it is also called it's the energy of innocence. It is the potential for acceptance. In the gene keys, the lowest expression of this gate is constriction. The gift is acceptance. And in the highest expression, it's universal love. Universal love here. Right. So when Neptune, the gate that represents our spiritual jobs, is moving through this, it enhances the qualities of innocence and spirituality and acceptance in our collective consciousness, because Neptune is a planet that affects the collective consciousness, not just me as an individual. So because Neptune is known as the planet of spirituality, illusion, transcendence, when he's moving through a specific gate in our human design, it can amplify the themes and the energies of that gate. So those are the spiritual awareness that is being amplified now, or will be as of the 10th, and our desire to connect with something higher than ourselves, or greater than ourselves, our higher selves, God, if you will, source, universal mind, doesn't matter what you call it. Right, the higher power. And that also puts us in a position to being more aware of the subtleties of energy, sort of the threads of energy that tie us all together, that unite us, right? We're all capable of tapping into what some people might call the morphogenetic fields. Some people might call it the spiritual ley lines. There are many names, right? But these threads that connect us. And during this transit of Neptune at the gate 25, we may feel more drawn to explore our spirituality, our spiritual sides, seeking deeper meaning in our lives, right? If you're not getting the deep meaning of your life, then this transit is going to provoke you to look for that, to go on that exploration, because here we're looking as a collective for a sense of inner peace. We've had so much turmoil, so much chaos, right? That's the gate 36 that Neptune's been in. So now we're looking for inner peace. We're looking for acceptance. We're looking for love. But on the negative side, there can be a tendency for us to over-idealize those things or people with those qualities. So we can sometimes, with Neptune, have that blurring of the boundaries between reality and fantasy. So we'll need to watch that. Watch out for that. It's important to approach this transit of Neptune at gate 25 with mindfulness and discernment. Mindfulness, not being in the mind, but with a thought process that is more open, right? That is less, more discerning, right? Being able to really discern, is this mine? Is this not? Is this correct? Is this not correct? We have to be aware of the potential for illusion and for deception during a Neptune transit. But if we embrace that with the awareness that is this correct for us, right? Is this person telling me the truth? Then Neptune's transit through this gate can really offer us opportunities for spiritual growth and emotional healing. It's not on the emotional center, but it can really help us with the emotional healing. And that comes from a deeper connection to the divine. So be prepared. 25 is going to bring more of the need for love into our lives, more of the spiritual order of love. All right. Now, Mercury that same day, the 11th. So Mercury retrograde on the 11th, which is Thursday, will conjunct the sun. And as I alluded to in the beginning of the broadcast this morning, this represents a new beginning. Mercury's cycle with the sun begins while Mercury is in retrograde when he conjuncts the sun. So we have a new cycle, a new 88-day cycle, because that's how long it takes Mercury to move completely around the sun. We have a new 88-day cycle beginning between Mercury and the sun in Aries, right? So it can bring a powerful dynamic to our communication, to our perception, to our self-expression, to our minds, right, during this time. Mercury retrograde, though, is often associated with misunderstandings, delays, revisions in our communication, in our decision-making. But when Mercury is conjunct the sun during the retrograde phase, there's an added intensity and clarity that comes to how we think and express ourselves. And in Aries, it's a sign of boldness and moving forward. So we're challenged a bit to be very clear in our intentions and in the thought processes that we take that move us forward. And the alignment encourages us to revisit old ideas, right? The ones that we put on the shelf because it maybe wasn't time to take action on them yet. To reassess our perspectives on ourselves and our relationships, and wherever Aries is in your chart, reassess your relationship to that area of your life and gain deeper insights into the thoughts and communication process that are patterns in your life. How have those patterns held you back? How have those patterns helped you move forward? It's a sign known for assertiveness and courage and a pioneering spirit. Boldness, right? Boldly going. So when Mercury retrograde occurs here, there's a focus on taking action, on asserting yourself and initiating new projects and endeavors. But because Mercury is retrograde, there may be a tendency to rush things without thinking them through completely or without really considering the consequences of your actions. We can be more impulsive than usual, so we're going to have to make sure that we balance that. We want to take action, but we want to make sure that we're not just leaping, right, from a need to make a solution, right? Or a need to move forward. We have to be very careful with this. So the conjunction of Mercury retrograde with the sun amplifies the energies that are around us at the moment, including introspection, self-awareness. It's time for us to reflect on our goals, our dreams, our ambitions, our personal identity. I always forget this. Identity is so important at this point. So many planets in Aries, including ones that have been there for a while. For example, Chiron, right? The sun and the North Node and Venus and Mercury, they're, you know, going to quickly move through. But Chiron has been here for a while. Chiron's presence here has been finding the pain points that we all have in our identity, right? Can we really live? Can we heal our identities and really live from our truths? That's the big one, right? So pay attention to any messages or insights that are coming through to you at this point about from within, right? From within you about your next steps, about what is truth for you, right? The conjunction with the sun in Aries means that we're being encouraged to trust our intuition. We're being encouraged to really listen deeply to the message that the sun is bringing to Mercury in retrograde. Because Mercury in retrograde is going to take that message and he's going to cogitate, right? He's going to think about this. He's going to mull it over. Then when he turns back to direct motion on April 25th, then we might be able to see a new path that opens up in front of us. So while it's not a time to stop all action and not do anything, certainly I don't want you to do that, it may be a time to really consider all of the different options you have about how to bring out the best for yourself. Lastly, and we can probably talk more about this even on Friday, is Pluto changing gates, right? He moves slowly. So he doesn't change gates very frequently, but when he does, it's momentous. And remember, Pluto's in Aquarius, which is transforming or revolutionizing and evolving our societal structures. Our society, our technology, our collective consciousness is all in this transformational state. It's being transformed to be more innovative, to be more individually focused, perhaps, to be more progressive. We're leaving behind the constraints of the past, and we're moving forward, revolutionizing the future. So Pluto's transit through the sign of Aquarius can actually amplify and bring about profound shifts in that Aquarian ideal on a global scale, not just in our country, not just in your personal life, but on a global scale. And now gate 41 is called the gate of fantasy, and it's associated with energy of imagination and creativity, of being innovative in a way, of bringing powerful ideas into reality, right? Not just holding them in our imagination, but recognizing if it's in our imagination, it is possible. And all we have to do is take the steps, right? Build the, if you build it, right, then the building goes up. Doesn't go up if you don't take action. So we might be experiencing a period of intense new ideas, new technologies, new medical advances. It's a time for people to embrace what is innovative. We may feel more compelled to move forward. And that's what makes this election cycle, I think, if you're here in the United States, so tricky. Because our choices are two people very inured in the past, the old. And how do we break free from that, right? What do we have to do to break out of that? And of course, Pluto's in Aquarius for a while, so it's not like we have to do it today. But this gate 41 is going to be the next, he's going to be here for a short time, and then he'll go back into the gate 60, and then he'll move back forward into the 41 later in the year. And I think that's when we as people are going to really feel the need to break out of the old patterns, you know, to move forward in exploring our alternatives, right? And maybe finding unconventional solutions to the problems that we have. I'm going to throw out another word to you, because Aquarius is actually the home of utopian ideals, the utopia. Right? The world that we could create based on ideals of love, of peace, of embracing one another, no matter what our color, no matter what our race, no matter what our sexual preference, no matter our sex. embrace our country of origin, just embracing one another, utopian ideals. We might find ourselves also confronting deep-seated fears about those things that the future will bring. Desires, subconscious patterns, all this stuff is going to come up. And gosh darn it, it's already 9 o'clock. So we'll talk more about that one on Friday because I think it's of high interest. And let's draw a dragon card to move us through this eclipse today, but also to give us guidance as to where we can put our fire, right? Our fire. Dragons are fire. And where can we put our passions and desires that support us? And I have a white gold dragon from Lyra. Connects you to the highest Christ light. And it says, develop your causal chakra. Bathe in ninth dimensional Christ light. Wow. I'm at a loss for words here. Just wow. White gold dragon from Lyra. Let's read more on her. I know she's a her. She's a her. Ninth dimensional dragon, white gold 98. Okay, let's read this. Lyra is the cross-shaped 12th dimensional stargate through which Archangel Christiel and the unicorns enter our universe. The light from Lyra pours down through the moon, allowing scintillating 7th dimensional dragons to step through into the vibration of Earth. These white gold dragons embody the highest frequency of the Christ light available to everyone on this planet. They work closely with Archangel Christiel, who is in charge of the development of the causal chakras of humanity. This is particularly important now as our causal chakra is our connection to the higher dimensions of spirit, the dragons, angels, unicorns, and masters. The white gold dragons from Lyra help to clear and develop our causal chakra and illuminate our highest possible ascension path. Here's the guidance. It says, these white gold dragons are attracted to you now because you are already carrying Christ light in your aura. Ask one to take you to the ninth dimensional pool of Christ energy held in Lakume. Visualize yourself bathing in the pool, which shimmers and swirls with pure love and light. Feel yourself absorbing all you are ready to receive. When you return, continue to feel the white gold light in your aura and practice pure unconditional love in your daily life. Your aura will radiate the incredibly high frequency of white gold, and the white gold dragon from Lyra will support you by continuing to pour Christ light into you. Take time to find a quiet, still place where you can listen to its wisdom and guidance. I love it. There we go. White gold dragon from Lyra. All right, guys, that is it for me today. Happy solar eclipse to each one of you. I hope you've learned something today about this week ahead of us and about the fact that the eclipse isn't the end of it. There's a whole lot more. We didn't even talk about the echoes that the eclipse will bring us. We'll talk about that on Friday. Okay, take care, everybody. Much love. Do you wish you could better understand yourself and what is going on in the world? Well, grab your cup of coffee or tea and join the podcast Living Astrology with Janet Hickox for Astrology, Human Design, and Jean Key's Wisdom. Mondays and Fridays at 11 a.m. Pacific, 2 p.m. Eastern. Podcasts are available on Spotify, iTunes, Google Play, and your other favorite outlets.